He says, God, help me to steal a lot today. And then when he'd come home and he'd steal a lot, he said, thank you, God, I was able to get so much today. And all these are all known by the priest. So therefore, if you want to be a murderer, if you want to be an adulterer, you want to be a fornicator, you want to be a thief, be a Roman Catholic. It's the perfect religion because they do not condemn you. Now, again, as I say these things, you have to remember, I talk about the Roman Catholic Church that I have in my country. Okay, like I said, they never heard of purgatory. All right. And so apathy. Not I have to, you know, you might say I have to get them lost before I can get them saved. The old thing we've heard many a time. And that's just it. Nobody considers themselves a bad person. They don't, you know. Yes, ma'am.
So, two questions. So are they a pretty trusting people? Are they a pretty trusting people?
Okay. Okay, and, you know, I have no problem. You know, obviously, if you haven't noticed, I'm not a timid person. So, therefore, everybody to me is in the open. I mean, I talk to everybody, okay? It's not a problem. And so, no, they're pro-American, and so it's not a problem, and so I'm really thankful. And so, no, that's no problem. And is there a lot of increase in Muslim? Yes, because we have so many illegal immigrants that are just pouring in thousands a day in Italy, thousands a day. And thanks to the Pope and thanks to the, you know, stinking politics of Germany and France, you know, that they use Italy as a toilet, to be quite frank. And so I don't like it. I don't like their politics. And so Italy's, you know, is being mistreated politically. And the Pope is the first one to start doing all that. Another question. I'm not sure, okay? I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't seen any statistics, but I know it's quite common. You know, so I know it's quite common. That's what I'm saying. You know, everybody does it. To say that the Catholic Church is a moral religion is a false. It's not true. And so I'm not sure. I haven't seen statistics. I don't know. Yes?
I'm going to ask a question, and I probably know. But as far as the history of the Waldensians, is there any
No. Okay. No, they're not saved. Okay. Get around to it.
As far as there any historical evidence of the Waldensians.
Historical evidence, like you mean like in the people, or you mean like in the place where they were at? Oh, yeah. You can go up the Torre Pellice, which is up by Torino, up in the mountains up there. They have their museum. They can show you where the barbs, okay, what they called them, the preachers. They have the caves back there where they lived and preached and, you know, where they hid out. Yeah, you can see. You can actually see. They have the Waldensian tour. And so you can see some of their schools. And so, yes, they're there. I've been there. So, yes. You know, it's up close to Torino. It's west of Torino, and it's called Torre Pellice up there. And then from there you take tours up in the mountains and stuff like that. So, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Have you always ministered in the same city?
Almost. The answer is no, but almost. The whole time, I was 1 year in Sicily. I was 1 year learning the language, but we were coming down where we're at. And then, like I said, then 1 year in Sicily. Otherwise, we've always been there, yes. Yes, sir. How many independent Baptist churches are there nearby? I live in a town of 100,000. A half an hour from my house, not from my town, a half an hour from my house in any direction, is 250,000 people. How many churches can preach the gospel? Show it. Either good or bad. I'm not talking about fundamental churches. Any church at all. 250,000 people. How many churches do you think are there that could preach the gospel?
Three?
One. Mine. There is none. There's nothing. And I can go beyond that, okay? Because my town is 100,000, 20 minutes down the road, 30 minutes down the road, 35, 40 minutes down the road. There's Spoleto. Maybe you've heard of Spoleto. They do a big thing, music every year. But anyway, 30,000, I think they are. And I know of one Christian there because I love Letter to Christ. And but nothing else. And then another town in their direction, 20,000, nothing that I know of. And so we can go around and around, there's nothing. The closest fundamental church is the missionary I showed you up here, Frank DeBagno. That's an hour on the freeway. I mean, I got across town and on the freeway. It's an hour from my house. And I don't even think there's even a church in between us that, you know, up there close to him, there's two or three churches. So up there, there's a brethren church and a couple of brethren churches up there close to around him. But around us, there's nothing. So, you know, Italy is, we just don't realize there's nothing. I mean, just there's nothing. And we have such a great need of missionaries, which, by the way, I need someone to come and take my place. I'm 63, and I don't plan on retiring tomorrow by any means. But, you know, it usually takes 3 years for a missionary to raise support. Give them 2 years to learn the language, you know, learn the culture and the language well enough to be able to preach consistently a comprehensible sermon. You know, 5 years, you know, and so, you know, please pray that someone would start working to come over my way. Another question. Yes, sir.
How many self-supporting independent Baptist churches are there, are you aware of, and what percentage of people you think in Italy have had the opportunity to hear the gospel one time?
Okay, zero, and I have no idea. Okay. I do not know of an autonomous church that's been started since World War II. I'm sure there would be there, okay, but I don't know of one. That'd be a fundamental church, I'm saying. And how many have heard the gospel? You know, it's hard to say, you know, because some missionaries have radio stations and things like that. And so, you know, I don't know what they've, you know, there are things out there. It's not, I'm not the only one preaching the gospel in all of Italy by any means, okay? And so there's radio stations that will have the gospel. I mean, they have lots of other stuff on there. But I'm saying you can get the gospel out there. So I don't know, okay? But I don't know. Another question.
How many people that you have talked to have heard the gospel before?
Well, if I talk to them, they've heard the gospel, so I don't know, a lot. I don't know. So I don't know. before I met them.
Yes.
Probably none. Because it's just, you know, this again, it's out there, but it doesn't mean they're listening to it. But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. If there is, be pretty few. Well, pretty few if there are. Well. Another question. Yes, ma'am.
Are people open to listening to you if you're going to share a Bible track or just ask them a question about what they're trying to say or something?
Sure. I mean, no, not really. Because even if you give them a track, you know, okay, you can walk, okay, an Italian town has what they call the downtown, okay? You know, we think of downtown American city, but downtown for an Italian is there's a place downtown where you walk, okay? That's downtown. And it's a walkway, okay? Street, shops, stores, and everything, but they go down and they walk. And so we have this walkway, okay? So it's like this, you know, aisle here, you know, they got the town, and it's about, you know, well, I don't know, how long is our walkway? How long is our walkway? Anybody remember how long is our walkway? Okay, whoever was there. Anyway, it's 3/4 mile, maybe long. And so you can stand down there and you can pass out tracts and all that kind of stuff. And what it is in Italy, it is common to advertise by giving brochures on the street. And so when you're standing there giving out a tract, they think it's a brochure for a discotheque, for a store, clothes or whatever. And they'll just take it and just walk on without even looking at it. But often, you know, they'll just take it. And then, you know, as they're walking down, they'll glance at it and they'll flip it over to see who it's from. It's always my tract. You know, I watch them, you know, they'll flip it over, see who it's from, and then throw it on the ground. That's very common, just like that. They litter a lot, by the way. They litter a lot. And so, you know, there's nobody ever. You know, I've had book table up there and tract table. Nobody. You know, sure, I can talk to them, they'll listen to me, but, you know, a lot of times, you know. And I'll, you know, if I ask them, they'll say, well, they'll ask me something, what's it about? And I'll say, it's about the Bible. And they'll go, yeah. So they're really not, no, they're not interested. No. And also, by the way, I have to be careful how I use terminology. For them, okay, Bible, you know, terminology is everything as well. You know, we call this a Bible, right? Well, they don't, okay? They don't call this a Bible, apart from the linguistical, you know, Bibbia. But they don't call it a Bible. So them, Bible is Old Testament. Gospels is New Testament. They don't even talk about this thing as a whole, okay? As well as, you know, the God. So when you say the Bible, they immediately think Old Testament. And so you want to avoid it because they have the concept the God of the Old Testament is a warrior. He's a killer. You know, he doesn't just wipe out people. That's all he does. Go out and kill people. But then Christ of the New Testament, he's loving. Okay, so they distinguish that very much, very much so. Very much so. So when you talk to people, you never use the word Bible. Okay, you always use the word Gospels. Okay, because they immediately think, as soon as you say, well, I'm preaching the gospel, I mean the Bible, they think, oh, you want to just kill us all. I mean, the concept, you preach a God that wants to kill people. Okay, that's the concept. So you want to talk. You know, terminology is everything. Yes, ma'am.
How long does it take once, like, you minister
say that. No. Well, when they come to me, they've already made the transition. So usually there's not a problem. You know, the people that come to me have already passed through the Mormons, or they've gone through the JWs, and they've left the Catholic Church 30 years ago, and they're just wandering out there trying to figure out what's going on in the world. So they've already left a lot of all of that. But, you know, I say for the most part, I still work with people at my church that when you say Bible, they go, no, that's what they do. They have it, okay, because it's ingrained, you know, when they get saved later in life. And so I do work with it to a certain degree, okay, but not as much as what you do. But I have a lady in my church that sometimes she just, you know, she'll come out with some odd statements once in a while, okay? that's one of them. But it's usually not too much, okay? Not too much. But we do have to work. But when they do come to us, they do have the concept, okay? I take it all back. You know, I'll eat my words, okay? They do have that concept. I'll go back. I'll retract everything I said. They do have that concept because I've never been asked that question. And they do have that concept, and we do have to work with them in church. I'll take it all back. I retract everything I said, erase it. I eat my words. I eat turkey. I do have to work with it, okay? I do have to work with it. Yes, sir. I don't know. Probably from the Catholic Church. That's where everything comes from. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Another question or two. I'm watching my time. All right, I've got a question for you. All right, turn the tables. What's my job? Preach the gospel, Great Commission. Give me a better answer. Another one. Start a local New Testament church. Exactly right. Okay, and why? Why is that my job? Why? Mrs. Roberts is going to answer all the questions, right? Why? Why is that my job? Why? Right, okay. And what we're trying to do is turn to your Bibles, if you would, Ephesians 4. We'll go to Ephesians 4. We all know the Great Commission, right? We all know the Great Commission, all right? And I'll just read it to us anyway, as you turn to Ephesians 4. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the blessing of staying with us to the end of the world is right there. We have the commission, the Great Commission. Often when we think of the Great Commission, we think of just preaching. That's wrong. Okay, it doesn't say that. It says the Great Commission is divided into three aspects, okay? And so we have the making of the disciples, we have the baptizing, and we have the teaching. When we talk about the ministries of the local church, the ministries of the local church are outward and inward, okay? Outward and inward. Outward, obviously, is toward the unsaved. Inward is towards the saved people, okay, towards the church people. That's why we have Ephesians, that's why we have Matthew 28. He says that we are to evangelize, we baptize them, they become members of the church, and at that point, we begin to teach them. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, okay. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have, from 11 to 16, we have the workings of the church at this point, the workings, what needs to be done. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to, and I'll skip it some, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, Pastor Robert's job is to perfect you. You just stop and think about it for a moment. Have you ever tried to perfect yourself? You know all the hindrances there are in trying to perfect yourself? I mean, I know perfecting myself is a big challenge, okay? I mean, yeah, that's his job, to perfect you. Much easier said than done, okay? And so my job, you know, as a pastor, missionary pastor, my job with this church, my church, is I am to perfect my people. Why? You know, for the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're to work, okay? We're to work on the outside, trying to see people saved, and we're to work also on the inside. This emphasizes, you know, working on the inside, okay? So we have a pastor. And so why? So that the saints can be perfected. And so the ministry then can be accomplished. Then we see from verses 13, 14, and 15, we have spiritual growth, you might say. And then we go down to verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, you are supposed to grow to the point that you, you know, are going to be working in the body one with the other. I am the start of church. Okay. As a church planter, I want to see God's word continue over years. This church exists because, you know, someone came, ministered, started the church, and as the decades go by, the church still exists because the church is maturing, the people mature, and are able to maintain the ministries of the church, working without and working within. I just came back from visiting, it was a week ago or so, some of our grandkids, four of our grandkids. So ages five, three, two, and a newborn. And you want to know something about them? They're irresponsible. And what do you expect from a two-year-old, right? And really, you know, a two-year-old acts like a two-year-old, you know, a three-year-old acts like a three-year-old, and so on. And so if we want to have, mature children, we have to teach them responsibility. You know, a 15-year-old that acts like a two-year-old, we say it's bad. If it's a Christian, we call them carnal, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we have a Christian that's just born again, okay, we call them babes in Christ. If they refuse to grow, because growth is a personal choice, if they refuse to grow, we call them carnal. All right, and then they give us a lot of problems because they're carnal. And so, but what I want, you know, we know that responsibility is tied into maturity. Maturity. Irresponsible people will not carry on the ministries. The only way that the ministries of this church can be accomplished is to have mature people that'll stick by the stuff because they're responsible. Now, I want to have that in Italy. My job is to start an autonomous church. A church so I have to work with my people in order to mature them so that they will maintain and continue on a faithful basis working for the ministries of the church, which is working to reach those that are without and reaching those and working with those that are within. And by doing that, the church will continue. If I was only to go there and evangelize and not start a church, as soon as I die, everything dies as well. There is no lasting ministry. Now, as I showed you in the pictures, my church is supporting two other missionaries. Because of you allowing me to be a part of your ministry in reaching the world, you are starting three churches. Yeah, stop and think about that. That's great. Excuse me. You know, I think that's really wonderful. You know, because as our church matures more and has more ministries, and as they are able to work more and more within and without, that means that more and more is laid to your benefit. You know, because of your efforts, because of your working. And the only way that a ministry can last is by having mature Christians. So we are there in order to see people saved, baptized, become baptized so they'll be members of the church, to train them to be mature Christians so that they can carry on the ministry and work and so on. That is what we're to do. Now, there's many results of that. You know, we have soundness here. It says in Ephesians 4, you know, in verse 14, you have soundness of doctrine, for example. And you have, in verse 15, you have a living a sincere and not a hypocritical life. And the church itself, you know, becomes stronger. And they will evangelize and so on. So there's many ministries. So we need to start a church. And the only way to maintain the light there is to have a church that is full or that has mature Christians. Ministry is carried on by mature Christians. So then I'll ask the question. You obviously have many ministries. Where do you fit? Where do you fit in the maturity level? You know? Because only through faithfulness will the church continue its ministries. And the only way that people can be faithful in ministering is to be mature Christians. We must grow. If we are not growing, we're sinning. There's never an end to our growth. Are you growing? Are you growing? Are you involved in the ministries? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We all should be involved in the ministry. You know, so often we think the ministry is nothing more than teaching Sunday school and doing things like that. But far, 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 far from it. You go through and read in the Bible all the things that we can minister by doing. Edification is one. Reprimanding is another. When was the last time you called up somebody and said, I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a hard time. When was the last time you just called up somebody and said, I know you're not, I don't know if you're going through a hard time, but I'm praying for you anyway. You know, we're all human beings. And as human beings, we all have our temptations. The temptations that you have and the trials you have, other people are going through the same things. It's, yeah, just that being a human being, you know. And then you have people there, you know, they're trying to be a testimony at work, trying to be a testimony at home. When was the last time you called them up and encouraged them and prayed for them and said, I'm praying that you'll be that good testimony? There's lots of ministries of the church. Are you involved in the ministries of the church? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the privilege that we have of being able to be involved in the ministry. But in order to be faithfully involved in the ministry, we need to grow. Father, help us. Help us to grow. We can. All of us can grow. We'll never be perfect. We know that. But just help us to just think about it again and work at it again and say, no, we just need to improve our relationship with you. To be more in your image, to be more like you, to be more loving, to be more caring, and to put others first. Thank you, Father. Amen.